"This man Von Liffig will walk all over us in 9 months," said Greenham.
"Sorry about that, sir."
"And how much will it cost?" asked Gilt, dreamily, without opening his eyes.
"One way or the other, sir, I reckon maybe 200,000," said Pony.
"That's ridiculous! We paid less than that for that trunk!"
Greenham burst out.
"Yes, sir, but you see, you got to run maintenance all the time, sir. The towers have been run ragged. There was that big gale back in Sektober and all that trouble in Oberwald. I haven't got the manpower. If you don't do maintenance, a little fault soon becomes a big one. I sent you gentlemen lots of reports, sir, and you cut my budget twice. I may say my lads did wonders with..."
"Mr. Pony," said Gilt quietly, "I think what I can see here is a conflict of cultures. Would you mind strolling along to my study, please? Igor will make you a cup of tea. Thank you so much."
When Pony had gone, Greenham said,
"Do you know what worries me right now?"
"Do tell us," said Gilt, folding his hands across his expensive waistcoat.
"Mr. Slant is not here."
"He has apologised. He says he has important business," said Gilt.
"We are his biggest clients. What's more important than us? No, he's not here because he wants to be somewhere else. The damned old revenant senses trouble and he's never there when it goes bad. Slant always comes out smelling of roses."
"That is at least more fragrant than his usual formaldehyde," said Gilt. "Don't panic, gentlemen."
"Somebody did," said Stoley. "Don't tell me that fire was accidental, was it? And what happened to poor old Fatty Horsefry, eh?"
"Calm down, my friends, calm down," said Gilt.
"They're just merchant bankers," he thought. "They're not hunters, they're scavengers, they have no vision." He waited until they had settled down and were regarding him with that strange and rather terrifying look that rich men wear when they think they may be in danger of becoming poor men.
"I expected something like this," he said. "Veterinary wants to harry us, that is all."
"Richard, you know we'll be in big trouble if the trunk stops working," said Nutmeg. "Some of us have debts to service. If the trunk fails for good, then people will ask questions."
"Oh, those pauses," thought Gilt. "Embezzlement is such a difficult word."
"Many of us have had to work very hard to raise the cash," said Stoley.
"Yes, keeping a straight face in front of your clients must be tricky," Gilt thought. Aloud, he said,
"I think we have to pay, gentlemen. I really think we do."
200,000, said Greenham. "Where do you think we can get that kind of money?"
"You got it before," murmured Gilt.
"And what is that supposed to mean, pray?" said Greenham, with just a little too much indignation.
"Poor Crispin came to see me the night before he died," said Gilt, as calmly as 6 inches of snow. "Babbled about all sorts of wild things. They hardly bear repeating. I think he believed people were after him. He did, however, insist on pressing a small ledger on me. Needless to say, it is safely locked away."
The room fell silent, its silence made deeper and hotter by a number of desperate men thinking hard and fast. They were, by their own standards, honest men, in that they only did what they knew or suspected everyone else did, and there was never any visible blood. But just now they were men far out on a frozen sea who'd just heard the ice creak.
"I strongly suspect that it'll be a bit less than 200,000, said Gilt. "Pony would be a fool if he didn't leave a margin."
"You didn't warn us about this, Reacher," said Stoley resentfully.
Gilt waved his hands.
"We must speculate to accumulate," he said. "The post office, trickery and sleight of hand. Oh, Von Liffig is an ideas man, but that's all he is. He's made a splash, but he's not got the stamina for the long haul. Yet, as it turns out, he will do us a favour. Perhaps we have been a little smug, a little lax, but we have learned our lesson. Spurred by the competition, we are investing several hundred thousand dollars."
"Several hundred?" said Greenham.
Gilt waved him into silence and continued.
"Several hundred thousand dollars in a challenging, relevant and exciting systemic overhaul of our entire organisation. Focusing on our core competencies while maintaining full and listening cooperation with the communities we are proud to serve. We fully realise that our energetic attempts to mobilise the flawed infrastructure we inherited have been less than totally satisfactory, and hope and trust that our valued and loyal customers will bear with us in the coming months as we interact synergistically with change management in our striving for excellence. That is our mission."
An awed silence followed.
"And thus we bounce back," said Gilt.
"But you said several hundred..."